Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the ReLove podcast. This is Pastor Seth Yolorda, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to this week's message. Our prayer is that it will leave you inspired, encouraged, and challenged as you grow higher in Christ. And I also just want to ask that if this message is a blessing to you, that you would take the time to share it, to send it to a friend, send it to a family member, so that they too can be blessed. Again, we thank you for taking the time to listen, and we pray that you are blessed. Well, I want to jump into the Word right now. So let's turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read Joshua chapter 1, a few passages from this chapter, verses 1 through 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south of Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east of the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So this is the book of Joshua and chapter 1. And in this story, in this passage, we pull several key lessons that I just want to draw out and bring to your attention and hopefully apply to your life and to my life today. The first thing that I think that all of us know, not just because we're living in this coronavirus season, but just in life. I mean, if you are alive and you're breathing, one thing that you know is that change is inevitable, right? Can I get an amen? I hear you. Put an amen in the chat for me, right? Change is inevitable. All of us go through change all of the time. I mean, think from our very earliest ages, we went through change. I mean, when we were born, we spent 9 months in the comfort and the safety of our mother's womb. And then all of a sudden, no one asked us, no one told us, we didn't have a say in the matter. We were thrusted out of this safe womb, this safe environment, and we were catapulted into this crazy world. And we came into this world kicking and screaming because of change. Like, change happens to all of us from the very first thing that we experienced when we were born. This change. And then all throughout our life, every season of our life, every transition of our life, everything is all about change. None of us stay the same. As we grow, we graduate from kindergarten to first grade, and that's a change. We change classrooms, we change teachers. You may have moved around throughout your life, and you change houses, you change cities. Your parents may have gotten divorced and may remarry, so you might even change parents. You know, now you have a step-parent or a stepfather or a stepmother, or maybe you have a blended family and you have these new siblings, and now they're your brothers and your sisters, and you experience that change. Even up to when you start dating and you're in a relationship and that doesn't work out, and so now you have to change. And then you go to school and maybe you change schools a couple times, or you get a job and you change jobs a couple times. I think the reality is that for all of us, no matter how old we are or what stage of life we're in, all of us experience change on a regular basis all the time. Change really is inevitable. And so because change is inevitable, the question is, how do we navigate through change? How do we process change? How do we come to grips with the change that is being forced upon us or that we're stepping into? And something that I really want to just really address is that your ability to process and to understand and to handle change is largely based on your ability to transition. Let me say that again. Your ability to process, handle, and understand change, no matter what change it is based on your ability to transition. In fact, just turn to the person next to you if you're sitting on your couch and just say, transition, 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 transition. Just say, I want you to get that our ability to handle change is based on our ability to transition. Let me give you an example. So my daughter, Amelia, she's 5 years old, and from the time that she was about 3 years old, she had this favorite coat that she just loved to wear. Now, obviously, we're in Southern California, and you know, you only need a coat like a month out of the year, but this was her favorite coat. It was a green coat. It was like one of those puffy coats, and she loved this coat. Sometimes she would want to go to bed in this coat. She would want to wear this coat to breakfast. I mean, it was just the coat that she always wanted to wear. And you know, she's a little on the thin side, doesn't have a lot of meat in her bones, and so she's like always cold. And so it would be 80 degrees outside, and she wanted to go outside and wear her coat. And she really just loved this particular coat. Well, what I began to realize, both her and my mother, that okay, this coat is great, but she started getting a little older and a little bigger and a little taller and a little longer, and the coat really was no longer fitting her. In fact, she transitioned from like 4T, 3T, 4T clothes to now like 5T and 6, and the coat literally was just too small, but she loved it so much that she would still wear this coat. She'd want to wear this coat to school, and there were a few times we let her wear it to school, but the coat's like coming up to here on her wrist, and we're just like, yo, it's time to like pass this coat down to your sister. But the coat was kind of raggedy, so we're like, we're not even gonna pass it down to your sister, we're just gonna get rid of it. So what I did, which I, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but what I often do is like take their toys and their clothes when they're not watching, and I just kind of hide them away because I recognize that they don't use them. So what I did was, one day her mom and I, we went and we bought her a new coat, and we just swapped it. Right, we just swapped it out. We were just like, you know what? We're gonna get rid of the old coat. And she woke up one morning, she had a new coat in her closet. She's like, oh, a new coat. And she was fine with it. We took that coat, her old one, and we had every intention on getting rid of it. I put it in the back of the car. I put it in a bag of like other clothes that we were gonna donate to Goodwill. And I had every intention on getting rid of it. However, I never got rid of it. It sat in a bag in the back of our van, and it's been back there for about 6, maybe 9 months. It's been back there. Now, mind you, she doesn't remember the coat. The coat's gone. She has a new coat, but something happened this week. We were in the garage, and I happened to open the trunk of the car, and the coat was hanging out of the bag. I don't know what I was thinking. She was in the garage with me, and as soon as she saw the coat, she totally lost it. She was like, my coat, I've been looking for you. I've been wanting you. Where have you been? And then she looked at me, and literally, she stomped her feet. She scrowled her face. She folded her arms, and she was like, Daddy, why did you take my coat from me? And I had to have a long conversation with her, like, listen, the coat doesn't fit you anymore. We're moving on. She's like, no, I want my coat. You didn't ask me if you could give my coat away. And we had to, I mean, it was a major ordeal in our house. And as I was like processing this and thinking about it, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. The coat doesn't fit you. You have a new coat. You are clearly changing. This is the 3T coat. You're like 5T, 6 now. Like, you wear bigger clothes. It's time to let it go. But even though change had happened to her physically, and she was now taller and longer, and she couldn't fit it anymore, because she had not processed the change and had transitioned through the change, she was not ready to let it go. And I use her as an example, but that applies to all of our lives. All of us have been in situations where we're holding on to something and we don't want to let it go, even though everyone around us is saying, you need to let it go. It's time to change. But because we have not made the mental or psychological transition, we don't want to let go of where we've been. When we think about change, We resist it. We resist it because we are unable to transition. And this lets us know that change on the surface is something that happens to us externally. You grow up, you get bigger, your clothes no longer fit. That's an external change. You transition from one school to the next, that's an external change. From one relationship to the next, that's an external change. Change is a result of something happening to us in the physical world. But transitioning is something that happens to us in our emotional, internal, psychological world. Transitioning is how we psychologically process the change that we're going through. And so I want to just talk to you about how we can psychologically process and handle and navigate the changes that we all find ourselves in. Whether it's a change as a result of the coronavirus, whether it's a change as a result of a death of a loved one, whether it's a change as a result of a divorce that you are experiencing or that your parents are going through, whether it's a change that you're experiencing because you're switching jobs, regardless of what the change is, I want to help us. I want to help you. I feel like God wants to help us transition through the changes that we experience in life. And so I think for the Christian, there's good news. For the Christian, the good news is that though change is inevitable, we should be able to handle this transition seamlessly. Like, even if we experience negative change, for the Christian, our response is, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. For the Christian now, we have that mentality that even if something negative happens, I get sick or I get cancer or I get, the virus, or if I get, laid off or something negative happens, my response, my emotional, my psychological response should be all things work together for good. And for the Christian, I'm talking to you, the Christian, when something good happens to us and we experience a promotion or a new baby or a marriage or a new house or something happens that's a positive change, then we respond by saying, praise the Lord. Lord is, He's good. His mercy endures forever. So that for us, when we experience change, our response, whether the change is good or bad, positive or negative, should always be to rely on God. And yet the challenge though is many of us go through changes and that's not our response. We don't respond with the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't respond with, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The Lord will supply all of my needs. When we go through negative changes, many of us, we wrestle with anxiety and discouragement and depression so that we don't respond, all things work together for good who love the Lord. So I want to talk to you about how we can transition from having a response that is built on anxiety and fear and discouragement and having a response to having a response that is built on strength and confidence and reliance and trust that God is with us. Now, on the front side, this is what I really want to communicate with you, that no matter what change you are going through, God is with you. I just want to let that sink in for a minute. No matter what change you're going through, God is with you. No matter what transition you're facing, God is with you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we serve a God who is with us. He goes so far that he says, whether I make my bed in hell, you are there. Whether I ascend unto the mountains, to the skies, you are there. That no matter where I am, God is with you. And we see this in the text where Moses has just died. Now, this is major because Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. He was the mountain man. He received the Ten Commandments. His face was glowing. He had seen the backside of God. I mean, he is literally the only person who had ever seen God. Remember when he says, Lord, I want to see you. And God said, well, you can't see my front side. I'll show you my backside. And he passed by the rock and he covered Moses' face and he showed him his backside. Like Moses was the man who had seen the back of Jesus, of God. And when he saw the back of God, he declared the Lord God, gracious and merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. I mean, he declared this profound declaration of who God was. Moses was the one who parted the Red Sea. Moses was the one who called water from a rock. Moses is the one who saw God write the Ten Commandments with his very own fingers. And so Moses was major. He was the patriarch. He was the man of God who had called down the plagues from heaven, who had turned the Nile River into blood. He was the one who had done all of these great and wonders for the children of Israel. And now you would never imagine, but Moses is dead. And the question is, who can ever fill the shoes of Moses? And God says, I have a man, and his name is Joshua. Joshua is the next man up. I don't know how you would feel stepping into Moses' seat, Moses' shoes, but I would feel overwhelmed. I mean, just go with me here. Imagine you going from, you know, let's say you're the manager of a store and you have 10, 15 employees or department and you have 10, 15 employees over you, I mean, who are working with you. And then all of a sudden you get promoted and you are like the manager of the district, right? Imagine that, you know, if I were to come to you and say, hey guys, I'm gonna plant a church and I'm gonna take 10 or 12 or 13 of my closest friends and we're gonna go plant a church together, you know, in another city. I mean, that would be somewhat manageable versus if I said, hey guys, I've just been promoted to lead this church of 2 million people. Like that's literally what happened to Moses, excuse me, to Joshua. Joshua was promoted to lead a nation of people, largely 2 million people. It's almost as if you step into a new role and you are over the entire nation. And the person who had gone before you was so great and so revered and so respected. The question is, who can ever follow in your footsteps? And Joshua had to step up. And as you can imagine, Joshua was in this moment experiencing not just change, but he was experiencing a significant, monumental, emotional, and psychological transition. And so God says to Joshua, Joshua, let's have a conversation. He says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you. I mean, can you imagine if God said, the time has come for you? I think God might be saying to some of you out there, the time has come for you. The time has come for you to step away from your job and maybe to start your own business. The time has come for you to reconcile a relationship that you know is strained. The time has come for you to bring your children back under your household. The time has come for you to reconcile relations. The time has come for you to forgive a loved one. The time has come for you to extend grace or maybe open up your home for someone else to come live with you. The time has come for you. He says, Joshua, the time has come for you to lead these people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving you. And I can imagine how Joshua may have felt. I remember when I got a call from our former vice president and he said, Pastor Seth, the time has come for you to lead Westminster Good Samaritan Church. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I had feelings of, are you sure? Are you sure this is for me? Are you sure? A little bit of overwhelm, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of, you know, shortness of breath. Are you sure this is for me? I remember the time I got the call. I was pastoring a very, very small church in Mississippi, a couple of churches in Mississippi, and I got the call from my conference president. He said, Seth, the time has come for you to now pastor this mother church in Chattanooga. And I felt like, am I sufficient? Am I able? Is this something I can do? I had so much questions and doubts about my ability. And so I can even on a small micro scale, imagine how Joshua is feeling in this moment where God calls Joshua and he says, Moses is dead. You're the next man up. But look what he says to him. He says, and I want to let you know, Joshua, in verse number 3, I promise you what I promised Moses, that wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. And then he goes on to verse 5. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I'll not fail you or abandon you. You know, transition can be extremely unsettling. And I feel like as I'm reading this text, that's kind of how Joshua is feeling. He's feeling extremely unsettled because he's having to go from just being Moses' assistant, and now he's having to step into this new position where he is now not just the assistant, but now he is leading the nation. And so God comes alongside of him and God says, I want to reassure you that just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I want to reassure you that no one will be able to stand before you or against you as long as you're alive. I will not abandon you. Now the challenge with this transition is that Joshua was having to leave where he was and take a step into where God was calling him. And that's the challenge with all transitions. We're having to leave where we are and we're having to take a step into where we feel God is calling to us or where we are being compelled to go. Now, I just want to try to make this thing like super clear for all of us, because all of us experience transition every single moment of every single day. In fact, this last week, I was out and I was just taking a walk. I was taking a slow walk through my neighborhood with my mask on. And as I was taking this slow walk, I just stopped where I was and I said to myself, right now, my feet are planted, both feet on the ground, and I am very stable, I am very secure. But then I did something. I lifted my left foot and I started moving my left foot forward. And as I slowly started moving my left foot forward, I said, wow, like me moving my foot forward, this is the process of transition. And this process of transition, as I started to notice it, I said, I'm kind of unstable. I'm kind of uncertain. I don't feel secure as I was when I had both of my feet on the ground, but I'm actually now taking a step forward. And as I was moving my foot forward, I did it as slowly as possible just to really kind of see myself in this transition phase that I'm in. And I said, you know what? What's interesting about transition is that when you are transitioning, as it is that when you are walking, that none of us like to stop mid-stride in the middle of our walk or in the middle of a transition. No, we like to complete our stride. We want to pick our foot up and we want to go through the transition phase and then put our foot back on solid ground so that now we are stable. And that is kind of like what we do with transition, that when we're going through transition, we want to hurry up and get to where we're going. Don't miss this point. We want to hurry up and get to where we're going. I don't like this uncertainty. I don't like this instability. Let me hurry up and get to where I'm going. Or if we're not that type of individual who wants to hurry up and get to where we're going, we're that type of individual that when we start a transition, we don't like the instability of me standing on one foot and my other foot moving. And so let me just take a step back and reestablish my foundation. Let me take a step back and just go back to what I'm used to. Let me take a step back and just reestablish the comfort that I'm used to experiencing. Because transition, all transition is unsettling. And yet life is all about how we manifest the transition. And so God says to Joshua, I am with you. Just like I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Don't go back and don't rush ahead to get to where you think you want to go, but just journey with me during this transition season. Don't be so concerned about what the end looks like. And don't feel like because you're not certain of what's happening right now, you just want to go back to where the way things were. No. Embrace the transition. And this is the promise of God. He says that if you're going to step into transition, if you're going to walk with me through life, if you're going to handle and manage the changes and the emotional transition that is needed in order for you to continue to grow, in order for you to experience where God is trying to take you, something you have to be. He says to us in verse 6. Look at verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I will give them. Be strong. He says it again in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. He says, if you're going to manage transition, you have to manage transition and make it through transition with an awareness of mind that, number one, I want you to get this point, that God is with you. And number two, that because God is with you, that you can be strong, that you have to be strong and very courageous. You have to recognize that, you know what, God has called me into this season. God knows exactly where I am. And because God knows exactly where I am, I have full confidence that God will lead me. I'm not worried about it. I mean, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty. Yes, there's things that could go wrong. There's enemies and pitfalls and potholes, and there's issues all around me. There's landmines that I'm surrounded by, and it could end very disastrous. But because I believe that God has called me, and because I believe that God is leading me, I will be strong and very courageous. I won't be afraid of their faces, because I know that just as God was with Moses, so God will be with me. There's someone right now who's listening, and you're going through transition. Maybe you're pregnant and your body is changing, and you're not quite sure how to handle this. You didn't plan on being pregnant. It wasn't a part of your 5-year plan, but now you're pregnant, and you're pregnant in the middle of coronavirus, and you don't know what's happening. Be strong and very courageous. Someone who has just lost a job, who's watching right now, you're unemployed, and you don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. What I want you to do is I want you to be strong and courageous. There's someone who's watching right now, and you feel like the rug has just been pulled out from underneath you. You were working through your academic program, but all of a sudden, doors started closing, and it doesn't look like you're gonna be able to complete. Be strong and very courageous. Someone's watching right now who you don't know what's going on with your children. You've been praying for them, but it looks like the situation with them is getting worse. They're not getting closer to God, they're getting further from God. And you just have a hard time managing this. Be strong and very courageous. That's the word of the Lord for you today. God came to Joshua and he said, Joshua, understand, be strong and courageous. But then he didn't just stop there. He said, but Joshua, if you're going to lead my people, and if you're going to manage this transition season that you're in, there's something else that I want to just give you, put in your back pocket so that you can be successful. He says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then he transitions and says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. He says, then you will be successful in everything you do. That if you're going to make it through this transition, I said it last week, and I just want to reiterate it, that if you're going to make it through this transition period, I want you to understand that you have to be committed to God's word. I mean, if you just keep reading, I mean, God reiterates this principle to Joshua. He says, Joshua, in verse 8, he says, study the book of instruction continually. Now, when God says to Joshua, study the book of instruction continually, he's not talking about the entire Bible. He's only talking about a few chapters, a few scriptures in the Torah, which is like the first 5 books. He doesn't even have the entire Bible that you and I have. He's like, Joshua, study my law, study this book continually, he says. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you be prosperous and succeed in all that you do. This is my command, verse 9, be strong and courageous. So it's almost like he says it again. I don't know why God feels the need to repeat this same phrase 3 times, but he does it. And maybe it's because he understands that Joshua, as he's trying to manage this transition, that Joshua is going to be afraid. And so he says over and over and over again, maybe it's because repetition deepens the impression. He says, be strong and courageous. And then again, be strong and very courageous. And then again, be strong and courageous. And in the heart and in the core of his admonition to be strong and courageous, he says to him, study my word. Study my word. Don't deviate from the left or from the right. but study my word. My prayer and my heart and my desire for you is that as you are facing change on multiple levels, that you would be able to emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually manage the transition. That you won't be like my daughter, who I love so much, and cling to a jacket that's two sizes too small because you don't want to let go of it, but that you will recognize that I appreciate where I have been, and now God is calling me to go somewhere, and I'm going to trust Him. It's interesting because I have another daughter, as you all know, Emily. And Emily is our special child. She is indeed a funny bird, like we like to call her. So some time ago, we brought Emily some new shoes. And she loves shoes. She loves dresses. She loves all of that. And we brought her some shoes and we ordered them online. And so we could not actually see them or get them fitted for her. But we just said, okay, you just wore this size. So we'll just get a size bigger. And they didn't have half sizes. So we just got the next size up and we ordered them. And when they came, we ordered two pair, the same size. She was super excited, but when she put them on, they were just clearly too big for her. I mean, they were just like clunking. So, I mean, she looked like she was a clown. They were just clearly too big. She was stumbling over herself. And we was like, Emily, we're sorry. The shoes are too big. We can either return them or you can like wait maybe 6 months and kind of grow into them. She's like, no, I want them. I want them. So we let her keep them. And every now and again, she tries to put them on, but it's clear they're just too big. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, you know what? That's interesting. Another lesson from my daughter. That on one hand, some of us, we try to cling to where we've been, even though it's too small for us. Others of us, we try to rush ahead to where we're going, even though it's too big for us and we're not ready for it. That when it comes to transition, what I want you to do, I want you just to step into right where you are and not hold on to where you've been and not try to rush ahead to get this thing over with and to get where you're going, but just to say, I'm going to take one day at a time. God, today, give me enough for my daily bread today. Yes, I want to plan for the future, but I don't want to step into something that I'm not ready for, that's too big for me. God, give me the patience and the strength and the courage to just take one step at a time. Transitions can be managed and change can be experienced if we walk with God every single day. So there's a few lessons that I want you to get as we wrap up. Number one, obviously, we've established change is inevitable. And the way that we manage change is through being able to step into a psychological state where we are willing to transition. But this transitioning, not holding on to animosity, not holding on to fear, not holding on to anxiety, the way that we can move to how Paul says, all things work together, is we have to claim the promise. And these are the points that I want you to get, and I want you to get it real good. Number one, we have to be strong and courageous. It's almost like that point is really about your faith. Have faith that God is with you. And if you have faith that God is with you, it gives you a strength and a courage. It's like the wind beneath your wings. It elevates you above whatever you're going through. So if you're going to manage transition, the first thing is you have to have faith. The second thing, and we learn it right from the text, is He tells us that you have to obey my word. That when God comes in, He says, it's time to move, it's time to let go, that we have to accept that, you know what, I can't make God conform to my plans. I have to conform to God's plans. God, what are you calling me to do? What are you calling me to let go? Where are you calling me to move? And be willing to transition and to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And then we realize that as we are obedient to the word of the Lord, that no matter what happens to us, God will always be with us. So this is my prayer. This is my hope for you, is that no matter what happens during this season of change, that we can transition together. I recognize that there are some of you all who are watching, and this may be your first time ever watching our messages, ever watching our services, and I pray that you felt like this wasn't as much a sermon as much as it was a conversation, inviting you into my backyard and just having a conversation with you about how we can manage change and transition. At the same time, if you are watching for the first time, some of you all might say, you know what? It's time for me to transition. I feel like God has been calling me to accept Him. God has been calling me to join a church, to join a body of believers, and I've been resisting it. But now it's time for me to change. It's time for me to transition. And if you want to transition with us, I want you to just right now, you can't fill out a card or come down for the appeal, but I want you to take out your phone right now and I want you to text BELONG to 77222. 77222. And what that does is you'll send us a text message, you'll get a link. I want you to fill out that form that you get a return reply to. And in that form, we'll be able to connect with you and start Bible studies. And if you want to get baptized, we can start preparing you for that. We can start helping you walk through this transition to accepting Christ as your Savior. And there may be some of you who you're saying, you know what, Pastor, we're good spiritually, but we need help financially. We don't have enough food in our house, or we're running low on supplies. We can't find certain things. We want to also be there for you as well. You can send us an email at info@relovechurch.com, or you can also just send a text message, neighbor, text neighbor to 77222, and we'll respond. That no matter who you are or what you're going through, whether you are trying to transition in your spiritual walk, or maybe you need help financially and getting some goods and things around your house, we want to help you transition as well. That we're not just a church that we want to share the message of God, but we want to actually come alongside of you and help you navigate the highs and the lows of life. And so our prayer and our hope for you today is that you would take this word that God spoke to Joshua and that you would personalize it and apply it to your life and understand that as I'm going through transition, as God was with Joshua, so He also will be with me. Be strong and very courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for just this opportunity to pray for my friends and my family, the members and community of our church. And Father, all of us right now are going through change. All of us right now are going through transitions. And some of us are resisting the transition. Some of us are running ahead of the transition. But God, my prayer right now is that you would allow us to understand that you are with us every step of the way. That we would be strong and very courageous, that we would not be afraid of whatever is happening around us, but that we would trust and depend and rely on you to see us through this transition period. God, I pray for every woman, every man, every single, every married couple, every child, every young adult, the single mothers, the single fathers out there, those who don't have relationship, you know, intimate relationships, they're not married, they're not dating, they're by themselves, they're single, they're in their homes. God, I pray for them right now. I pray for your people that your grace and your mercy and your spirit would just rest and abide in our hearts and in our homes, and that we will be able to transition through this season successfully because we know you and we're confident that you are with us everywhere we go. And so we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.